Chapter 17. Let the Blood Flow. Dozens lay dead, killed by the explosion. The incendiary device deployed by the cultists was crude, but with the labourers so hemmed in, it could not help but wreak havoc. At first, the survivors scattered. They ran in all directions, some genuinely unsure where the danger came from. Fear of secondary explosions rippled through the crowd like a shockwave. They stampeded. Some were crushed against the massive silos. Others simply disappeared underfoot and did not reappear. Panic had seized the mob and turned them feral. It did not end there. The wounded were set upon, stabbed and bludgeoned, as shouts radiated through the ration yard.
Carnath! Carnath!
It was a ritual, and these poor starving men and women were at sacrifice. Only to what? Scipio had no idea. He pushed into the crowd, letting the terrified labourers rush past him as he made for the cultists moving through the throng. He was unarmoured, but there was no time to return for his weapons. He was the weapon, and that would have to be enough. Skirmishes had broken out between the loyal and the traitorous, as some decided to fight to protect their ship. Scipio did not hesitate to join with them. He heard Harp and Bader across the vox.
"Hold steady!"
he was saying, the catch in his voice giving away his fear.
"Shields together! Don't let them through!"
"Aeolus," said Scipio. "They'll stampede that wall and Bader is too afraid to listen."
He received a grunt of understanding and heard his fellow sergeant stomp back to the barrier to get ahead of the mob. A trickle became a flood, men and women hurrying for safety as they at last realized from where the danger was coming. Oban fought against the tide, he and those others who had decided to engage the traitors in their midst. They fought with wrenches and pipes, and with their fists. The cultists were organized and fueled by some insane doctrine. Beneath their masks, they were crazed and utterly given over to a darker power. The warp had touched them, a small seed that had spread into a contagion of madness and blood. In the bowels of the ship, it would have been easy to conceal their deviancy. An allegiance born out of fear and desperation, or a simple human desire to inflict pain on others and see your own weaknesses reflected in a victim's suffering. Weakness of character, of resolve. It sickened Scipio. He would see it purged and the turncoats put to death along with their heretic creed. But first, he needed to reach them. An interrogative came over the vox.
"Should we engage, Brother Sergeant?"
One of his men, eager to obey his genetic coding.
"No firearms," Scipio replied,
forging through the throng. If the ultramarines spread out around the ration yard started shooting now, it would be a bloodbath. The bolter was many things, but it was never subtle.
"Hand to hand, hunt the bastards down!"
Scipio's weapons were gone, being kicked around or tripped over in the panic. He risked a backward glance. The shield wall had scattered, the armsmen ushering the scared labourers through. Aeolus was slowly moving back up through the tide of bodies. It was the same across the ration yard. Scipio occupied the most advanced position. For now, he was on his own. A ragged-looking man, missing his mask but daubed in the marks of heresy, flung himself at the ultramarine. Scipio caught him by the neck, twisted it hard, and moved on. A second, he punched in the chest and felt rib bones yield. They flocked to him then, the traitors. He represented the Imperium that they had come to hate, the thing they had traded for the lies of chaos. They leapt at him and upon him, clawing and hacking with improvised weapons. Scipio used his elbows, his knees, his feet. He used the unarmed combat doctrines of his chapter and saw the effort in the practice cages rewarded. It was bloody work, though the feel of splintered bone beneath his fists yielded a certain catharsis. The cultists were waning, both in numbers and in purpose. The crowds had all but dispersed, and the ultramarines behind Scipio were making their superior strength and training count. The danger to the innocent dropped dramatically. The order to fire was given, and the riot ended moments later.
"What was the purpose of all this?"
Scipio asked as Aeolus rejoined him. He carried Scipio's weapons and returned them with due reverence. The blade was given back last, and done so with the utmost care.
"To sow carnage and terror,"
Iolas replied.
"I can think of no other reason."
Scipio regarded a body amongst the masses.
"Perhaps it is just insanity,"
Iolas suggested when Scipio did not answer.
"Or something darker. It is a grim hope, when that is the thing we must wish for, that there was reason to this, and not just blind madness."
He kneeled down by the body, gently closing the dead man's eyes and carefully setting his hand upon his chest in imitation of the Imperial Eagle.
"Who was he?"
asked Iolas.
"Another loyal son of Macragge," Scipio replied, and left Oban to his well-earned peace.
It was only later, when the vox crackled, that they learned why the massacre had taken place, and what it had brought forth.